We begin the current daf Masechtas Brachos daf Gimel. We begin four lines from the top, and the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah on daf Beis that says Ad Seif HaShmura. This was the statement of Rabbi Eliezer regarding the three machlokes from until when can one say the evening Kriyishma. We had the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer that said until the end of the first Ashmura, until the end of the first watch, which the Gemara is going to explain what time precisely that is. We had the Shita of Rabbi Gamliel that held that it could be the entire night. And we had the Shita of the Chacham that held up until Chatzos. So now the Gemara questions Rabbi Eliezer's enigmatic statement that he said, Ad Seif HaShmura, until the end of the first watch. The Gemara asks, Mike Sov Rabbi Eliezer, what does Rabbi Eliezer exactly hold? Which, in other words, he should have been specific what time he was trying to say. And the Gemara elaborates. Iksav Shalash Mishmaras Havat Laila, if he holds that the night is three watches, then Lema Ad Arba Shalis, then he should say it up until 4 hours. And precisely is what we're talking about is the Machlokes Tanoim, the Gemara is going to explain later, that there are those that say the night is split into three different watches, three different parts, and that's how the Malachim do the service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they say the Shira. And the first group says it, then the second group, and then the third group. And then there are those that say that the night is split into four different Mishmaris. So therefore, if Rabbi Eliezer holds that the night is split into three different Mishmaris, so when he means up until the end of the first Mishmar, that means 4 hours into the night. So then let him just say that, Ad Arba Shois. V'iksava Arba Mishmaris Havalayla, Lema Ad Shalosh Shois. And if he holds that the night is split into four different parts, and then let him say if up until 3 hours, because that's what it would mean, until the end of the first watch. Because if you split 12 hours into four, you get three. So why does he just say, why doesn't he say precisely three or four, depending on which Mishmar he holds? If it's four Mishmaris or three Mishmaris, let it be specific. Why be vague about it and just say up until the end of the first Mishmar? So the Gemara answers, Lo'ilim kusabah shosh Mishmaris havalayla. Correct. And essentially, he holds that the night is split into three different Mishmaris. So why doesn't he just say up until 4 hours into the night? For example, if let's say it was a perfect night from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., you could say it up until 10 p.m. Let him just say that. Welcome, Ashmalon. Dik Mishmaris Berkiv, Ik Mishmaris Ba'ari. I wanted to tell you another chiddush, that just like that there are Mishmaris in Shemayim, that, as we said, that the Malachim have their different groupings, they're split into three groups, and that's how it's done in Shemayim. So too here on land, there's also three different groupings. And that is that he's giving you a simon that the time of the Kriya is the end of the first Mishmar, and he doesn't tell you specifically at the end of 4 hours, is telling you that everybody can realize when that is, because there is a specific divisions at night that you could know on your own. And that is, as the Gemara brings the Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Oimer Sholosh Mishmaris Havalayla. Rabbi Eliezer holds that the night is split into three different groupings. Val kol mishmar or mishmar yesh v'kadosh baruch hu v'shoy kari, and by every mishmar, by every grouping, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, sits and he roars like a lion. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, Hashem imorim yishak, that Hashem from on high he roars. Umemoin kotcha yitin koylai, and from his abode, his holy abode, he gives forth his voice. Shoog yishak on the veyu, he roars on his lodging. And what we see over here is that there's three times that it says the word Sho'ag, and that's what Rabbi Eliezer was saying, that that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by every Mishmar that he's Sho'ag. That's why it says three times the word Sho'ag, to say by all the three Mishmaras at the night, he's so to speak roaring. And the similar dove, and this is the point that we wanted to say, that there are Mishmaras here on earth that we ourselves could tell when it's the end of the first Mishmar, because there are three Mishmaras here on earth. Mishmar Rishon Nechamoyner, the first Mishmar, the donkey brays. Shnia, by the second grouping of the night, Klovim Tzoyakim, the dogs are barking. Shlishis, by the third grouping, Tinik Yenik Mishtei Imoy, the infant nurses from the breast of his mother. Ve'ish Misaperesim Baila, and the woman is discussing and speaking with her husband. And that's because it's almost by daytime and people are getting up from their sleep. So those that are sleeping nearby start discussing and talking amongst themselves. So that's why he said, Atzeif Ashmarishen, because we can tell when the different groupings are based on the different phenomena that happen here on earth. So, but the Gemara now wants to understand these three Mishmaris here on earth. Michael Chash Rebbe Eliezer, what was Rebbe Eliezer discussing when he gave these simonim for the Mishmaris on earth? We were there, in the beginning of the groupings or the end? And the Gemara discusses this. If he was telling you that in the beginning of each Mishmar this simon happens, for example, the Chamor is Noir in the beginning of the first Mishmar, and the Klavim Atzoikim in the beginning of the second, and the husband is speaking with the wife at the beginning of the last one. So then, Tchilas Mishmar Rishon is Simon Lomali Urtuhu. So why do we need a simon for the beginning of the first Mishmar? It's night. It's Seisa Kachavim. I know when it's the beginning of the first Mishmar. It's when night begins, which is when the three stars come out. And Isayif Mishmar is Kachashim. Seif Mishmar Achreinu Lomali Simona Yimamahu. And if we're talking about the end of each Mishmar, that's when these phenomena happen. Why do I need a simon for the last Mishmar? I know when that is. That's when day begins. So why would I need the siman of the husband speaking with the wife? Rather, elochashiv seif mishmei rishayna, mitchilas mishmei achrayna, ve'emtsoyis demtziyusa. Rather, what we're telling you is we're discussing the end of the first mishmer, the beginning of the last mishmer, and the middle of the middle. And that's why the beginning of the first one doesn't need, so we're discussing it, the end of that mishmer. The end of the last one doesn't need, that's why it's the beginning of that mishmer. And the middle one is the middle of the middle, so that's the difference, because it wouldn't need the beginning or the end, because that would be the other mishmer, the end of the first or the beginning of the last. So those are the three things, the phenomena happen at those distinct times. That's one teretz. The Gemara gives another teretz, v'ibayis eimo kulo seif mishmeis kachashav, that we're discussing that the simanim are at the end of each mishmer. So then the question is, v'chitem achrein leitzarach, so then you're going to say, so why would the last mishmer need? I know that it's daytime already. No, there would be a difference why I would need that siman. It would be discussing it by a case of a person that's sleeping in a very dark house. Some people have that in their basement, that it's very dark, and you can't even tell when it's morning time already. So therefore, this person is not going to know when it's the siman of kriyishma. I mean, in other words, he doesn't know that it's the beginning of the daytime. However, once he hears the husband talking with the wife, and he realizes that the infant is nursing from the mother, then he can get up and say Krishma. That's why we need the siman of the morning time, although that it's day, but he doesn't realize that. That's why we needed that siman. So we have from our Gemara that Rabbi Eliezer says that you could say Krishma until the end of the first mishmer. And that's why he tells it to you in that ambiguous statement, is to tell you that there are mishmaris in earth, just like there is on the Shemayim. And that is when the chamor is nar, when the donkey's braying. The middle one was kalav and tzaykim, when the dogs are barking. And the third one was when the infant is nursing. Interesting, the mashah, he develops parallels along these three lines, that the first one is, for example, we know with dreams that there's different types of dreams. He says the first, which is chamor, which is chumrius, is physicality. That's the dreams that a person has from what happened during the day, because that's just where he left off. And that's more of a physical type of a thing. Then there's the middle, is a more emotional, more ruchnius. That's why shadim, so to speak, can have an impact on a person's dreams during the middle of the night. And that's why the klov matzoikim, that was like when we know by Makas Bacharis, when the malchamavis comes, the klovim, the dogs start barking. And the third one is more intellectual. It's more iyuni. And that's why it says it's almost like a more a nevuah, that a person has a dream towards the morning. That's the more spiritual. And those are the three divisions of the night. Chamor is the chumrius, it's physical. And the klovim are more the emotional, more shadim. And the third one is more the husband speaking with the wife, and the tinnik, that's yoinik, b'shteimo, is always a metaphor for spirituality. That's the three divisions of the night. Now the Gemara discusses now the impact and the school of exactly what these mishmaris hold for Klal Yisrael, these divisions of the night. As we said, the night is split into three different departments. And by every mishmer, by every group, and Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, sits and he roars like a lion. What does he say? Woe to the children, because of their sins, I destroyed my house, and I burnt my temple, and I put them in exile amongst the nations of the world. It shows the significance of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, mourning over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That's some of the customs that there are, that at different times during the night, and specifically Chatzos, that people mourn over the Beis HaMikdash because it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing the same thing at that point. So the Gemara brings a Meiser related to this, how about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so to speak, mourning over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Tanya, Omer B'Yisi, Pam Achas Yisim HaHalach B'derech, one time I was going on the road, I went into one of the ruins. There's a lot of ruins in Yerushalayim, and I went in there to daven. Eliyahu, who should be remembered for good, he waited to me by the opening until I finished my tefillah. After I finished my tefillah, so he told me, peace unto you, master. And I told Eliyahu, you always give a greater accolade back to the one that gave you the shalom. So he said, peace unto you, my teacher and my master. Vomali, b'ni, mimnei ma nechnasta l'churbezus. He said to me, my son, why did you enter into this ruin? Amati lo lispa, I told him to go daven. Vomali, hoy l'chol lispa al baderz. He said, you should have davened on the road. Why are you going into a ruin? I was concerned, I was afraid that those that are passing by on the road are going to interrupt me. I'm not going to be able to have kavana during my tefillah. So they said to me that you should have daven a short tefillah, which is a debate if it's a certain type of tefillah or havinein, or it's a certain, but in other words, in the bridge type of a tefillah. So he comments, so Rabbi Yossi said that at that time I learned from Eliyahu HaNavi three things. One, lamadati shein nechnas lechorba, that you don't go into a ruin. And the Gemara is going to discuss the reasons later why that is. Two, lamadati shemispal maderech, and I learned that you could daven on the road and you don't have to be concerned, so to speak, that people are going to bother you. And the third one is related to that, lamadati shemispal maderech, mispal tzvil kitzvah, that someone that is davening on the road, since there is a concern, obviously, that people might interrupt, that you daven in the bridged version of tefillah. Then he continued the conversation. Vamali b'ni, ma kol shemat b'chorvazu. So then Eliyahu Nabi told me, what voice did you hear in this ruin? V'mati loy, shemati baskol shem nehemes kiyonis. As I told him that I heard a baskol as a type of a voice emanating from Shemayim that was cooing like a dove. V'imeres, and they were saying, oy lebanim shabav neseim hechrafti es beisi, woe to my children, that because of their sins I destroyed my house. V'sarafti es echole, and I burned my temple. V'iglisim lebein ha'umas, and then I put them in exile amongst the nations. V'amali, chayecha v'chayereshcha. So Eliyahu HaNavi told me, your life and the life of your head, it's a form of like an oath. It wasn't only at this time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says this. Rather, every day, three times a day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says this. As we said, similar during the three Hashmaris, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shoykari. But then he added, not only this, or at the time when Klai Yisrael enter into the shuls, enter the base medrash, and they answer that Hashem's name should be, his great name should be blessed, which is the common tefillah that we say, Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say when we say that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, he like shakes his head and he says, Ashri HaMelech Shemakalsin Oysa Bebezekach. Praiseworthy is the king that this is how they praise him in his house. In other words, when the Beis Hamikdash was still around. And Maloi La'av Shehiglas Ban, but woe to the father that has to put his children into exile. But Oilehem Labanim Shagolim Ashokhan Abim, and woe to the children that they're in exile from their father's table. So that's what we see, that this school, so to speak, that there is by the Reish Mishmoiris, that Kach Baruch Hu Shoyg, and all these different three. And that's, again, related to the custom of Kabbalim. They do it specifically at Chatzais, called Tirin Chatzais, but there is this element of at night to be Shoye Kari, to mourn, to be Mis'abal on the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So now the Gemara goes back to this, one of the three halachas that Eliyahu HaNavi taught him, that you shouldn't go into a Churban. Tana Banan. For three reasons, one does not enter a ruin. First one is Mnei Chashad, because of suspicion, that they might suspect that there is a prostitute there waiting for him in this, so to speak, this off-the-beaten-path location. The second reason is b'mnei hamapoilis, because the concern about collapse, that because of the shaky walls, that obviously that's what a ruin is, there's a concern that it might fall in on him. And the third reason is b'mnei hamazikim, because of demons, because they frequent places that humans are not generally there. And if you go there, a person can be harmed there, chas v'shalom, from the mazikim. So the Gemara asks a very elementary question. Why do I need the reason that you can't go into a ruin because of suspicion? Why isn't it enough for the reason of collapse? And that is, why do I need three reasons for one halacha? It's enough for one reason, unless if it's coming to tell you that there are times when it won't be sufficient for one of the reasons and you're going to need all three of the reasons. So why would that be the case? Why isn't it enough for, let's say, the case of that it's concerned about collapsing on the person? Why do you need the concern that of suspicion? So we turn the page to Amud Beis, and the Gemara says, because I need in a case of bechadati, when it's a new ruin, and that is because when it just recently fell in, the walls are not so weak, it's still strong, it's just that one wall fell in, so we're not so concerned about it falling in, but there's still the concern that there might be a zayna waiting there for him. However, the Gemara asks for typically mishamazikin, correct, that there won't be the concern about mapoilis, that it's going to fall in, but there's still the concern about a mazikin, that shadim are there because no one lives there. So the Gemara answers, betray. We're talking about that there's two people, and we know that mazikin don't harm an individual when there's two of them. It's only when there's one person. So therefore, it has to have the reason of chashad. But the Gemara asks, I betray, but if it's really talking about that there's two people, chashad nami leka, so then there's no concern either. And that is because it says in Masechtas Kedushin Daf Pei that a woman could be misyachet, she could be secluded with two people. And therefore, there is no concern about some improper relationships here, because when there's two people, there's no chashad. And you're saying there's two because, or else there'll be a problem of mazikin. So the Gemara says, betray your pritzi. It's talking about two people, but they're immoral. And that is, the Gemara over there in Kedushin says that the halacha permitting two men and one woman is only when they're both trustworthy in relationships. However, if they're immoral, so then even if they're two, they're still going to be concerned the chashad. So therefore, there's no problem mazikin because there's two people. There is no problem about mapelis, about falling in, because it's a relatively new wall that just fell in. And therefore, there's only the concern of chashad. But now the Gemara discusses the other reasons. Why do I need the reason of concern that the wall might fall in? I have the two other concerns about it being a suspicion and about Shadim hanging out over there in the ruin. Why do I need the reason of my pilus? The Gemara says, specifically in the case of betray Uksheri, when there's two people, so therefore there is no concern about Mazikin, and they're both upstanding individuals, so there's no problem with Chashad. That's why, even when two people go in, but a wall could fall in there, there's still the concern that of a Mapele, so therefore two people can't go into such a case. And then the Gemara discusses the third reason, Memneha Mazikin. Why do I need the reason that there are Shadim? But typically, Memneha Chashad Mapele, so you always have the concern about suspicion and about the wall falling in. So the Gemara says it's discussing, and it's necessary for the case of Bechur Bechadati, that it's a newly destroyed building, so therefore there's no concern about Mapilis, will betray Yuksheri. We're talking about two individuals that are upstanding, so therefore there's no chashad. To which the Gemara says, if that's the case, betray Mazikin Amileka. If there's two people, so then, and that we need it because or else there'll be chashad, so then there's no Mazikin, because we say Mazikin only hurt a person when he's an individual, not when there's two. So the Gemara answers two answers. Either Bimkoimam Chashinon, in the place where they're constantly there. In other words, sometimes we're just concerned, maybe they're shade, maybe not, but in the place where we know, so to speak, that they hang out. So there, even when there's two people, we're concerned that they might hurt the two people. Now we're talking about a case that when there's one person, and it's a newly destroyed building, so therefore there's no concern about mapoilis. But why is there no concern about chashad if there's one person? The koi bedarb, we're talking about that this ruin is in the fields. The hasam mishum chashad leka, there is no chashad about a zayna being in a ruin in the fields. And the reason is the ha'isha bedarb alei shchicha, it's not common to find a woman in the fields. They will not go there because that's not the custom of women to go there. Mishum mazikin neka, however, there's still the concern of mazikin, because one person going into a ruin could be harmed by them. So therefore, we need all three reasons of chashad, of suspicion, of mapoilis, of the building maybe collapsing, and of mazikin. For we find three different cases that it might be necessary to have each individual reason. Now the Gemara goes and discusses what we discussed in Amud Aleph regarding the Mishmoris, as Rabbi Eliezer said, that this man of Krishma of the evening is until the end of the first Mishmar. The Gemara discusses, as we mentioned before, this machloik is about how many Mishmoris there are in the evening. Tan Rabban, Arba Mishmoris Hava Laila, Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says, and that is split into four different Mishmoris, four different groupings, and therefore each grouping is 3 hours. Rabbi Nassan says that there's three groupings, and therefore each grouping is 4 hours. Now the Gemara discusses the reasoning for each Tana. My time with Rabbi Nassan, why does he hold that the night is split into three different parts? What's his proof of this? The Chsev, as it says in the Pasuk, V'yova Gidon u'meya ish asher ito b'kzeh ha'machna. So Gidon came with 100 men that were with him towards the end of the encampment. Roish ha'ashmuris ha'techayna, the beginning of the middle watch. So Tana, we learned, ain't techuna elish yesh lefeneo lachreo. The middle could only be if there has one before and one after, that must be there's three. Because if there was four, there is no middle. Because there would be no division to have a properly number. There's two in the middle. The Rebbe might techuna. So what does Rebbe say the middle? It means achas minat techuna shebetechuna. It means one of the middle ones. In other words, there's two in the middle. So it means either one of them. Rebbe Nassan miksif techuna shebetechuna. Rebbe Nassan answers that, does it say one of the middle ones? Techuna ksif. It says the middle one in the singular. That means it must be that there's three mishmaris and the number two is the middle one. So that's the reason for Rebbe Nassan that the night has. The night has three mishmaris. My time of the Rebbe. What's the reason of Rebbe that there's four mishmaris? Amar Zeka, Amar Ba'ame, Amar Rishu ben Levi. He brings a proof from the way David HaMelech says something. He says, "Kasev Echad Omer." One pasuk says, "Chatzoyis Laila Akum Lahoidis Lacha Amishpatitzit Kecha." David HaMelech said that at midnight I get up to praise you on your righteous judgments. So we see he got up at Chatzoyis. But Kasev Echad Omer, and another pasuk David HaMelech says, is kidmu einai ashmuris, that my eyes preceded the different watchings. So therefore we see that Chatzos Laila, when David HaMelech got up, there were still two more Mishmoiris coming. So HaKeitzad, Arba Mishmoiris, HaLaila, must be that the night is split into four different groupings. That means each grouping is 3 hours. So at midnight, it's from 6 to 12, that's two groupings of 3 hours. So therefore, there's two more groupings, two more Mishmoiris until the morning. Because if it was talking about that the night was three Mishmoiris, so then there wouldn't be two more groupings, it would be less than two groupings up until the morning, because Chatzos is already into the second Mishmar. So therefore, that's why he proves from these two Psukim that Chatzos is this two more Mishmoiris, that obviously each Mishmar is 3 hours long. Reb Nosson, Sovalo Krib Yeshua. However, how does Reb Nosson resolve this? He holds like Reb Yeshua, because obviously he has this problem about how you're going to resolve it. So he's saying that Nan, Reb Yeshua Omer Ad Shalosh Shoyos. Reb Yeshua says that when can you say the morning Kriyat Shema? You could say it up until 3 hours into the morning. And the reason for this is Shekin Derech Malachim Lamed B'Shalosh Shoyos, because since the way of the kings are that they get up late in the morning, and that's 3 hours into the morning. So therefore, that's until when you could say Kumecha, the getting up of the morning Kriyat Shema, up until that time, because people are still getting up, as we find in the kings in royalty and nobility. So therefore, the way Reb Nosson is learning is that Shis Delelya Vetarti Diyimam Havelahu Shtei Mishmaris. In a sense, what he's saying is that the morning, the night continues up until the time when the kings get up. Because Kodma Eina Yashmuris, that David HaMelech was saying, what does it mean that my eyes preceded the groupings? He was saying, in reference to the other kings, that they get up 3 hours into the morning, which is the beginning of the third hour, in the third hour. So therefore, if you take the 6 hours left from the night, because you're going from Chatzos up until the morning, that's six hours, and you take the 2 hours of the morning, because that's when the other kings get up, so you take 6 plus 2 is 8, so therefore, as we see that each Mishmar is 4 hours, because he splits the night into three parts, so if you take 6 hours plus 2, you get 8, you split that into 2, that's 4 hours apiece, that's 2 Mishmaris. And therefore, it's not a difficulty for him, these 2 psukim, because when he says at midnight is 2 Mishmaris, it means including the time of the 2 hours in the morning, because it's in reference to the other kings. Another Teretz Gemara says, to resolve it for Reb Nosson, Rav Ashi Amar Mishmara Palgenam Mishmaris Karlu, that a Mishmar and a half is also considered 2 Mishmaris, because at Chatzos, according to Reb Nosson, there's also still at least another half of Mishmar, and because it's the middle of the second Mishmar, and you have the Mishmar, the third Mishmar following. That's also 1 and a half is called 2. That's Mishmaris, because there's still more than 1 Mishmar left up until the morning. So this was the Machlokes that we have, if the night is split into 3 or 4 Mishmaris. Now the Gemara continues with another statement from Reb Zirka Amar Abami in the name of Reb Shub ben Levi. V'amar Reb Zirka Amar Abami Reb Shub ben Levi. In Oymim B'fnei HaMes, El Devar V'shal Mes. A person is not allowed to say in front of a dead person only things pertaining to the person that passed away. However, the Gemara qualifies the statement. We only mention this regarding Divrei Torah, which is that a person cannot be talking about him in front of the mess, Divrei Torah, because everybody has a chiv to be talking in words of Torah. But the mess is quiet. And that's the, so to speak, as the pasuk, the famous pasuk in Mishlei, it's loig l'rash. It's, so to speak, degrading for the poor person. And cheref ayseyu, it's embarrassing for the one that made him, because he can't speak in the words of Torah. So that's loig l'rash, similar to not having the tzitzis out on the basic kvaras. We don't want to taunt him, so to speak, that we can do words of Torah and he cannot. Avamil de amaleslamba. However, if you're just talking about things that are pertaining to other things not related to Torah, then there's no problem, because it's not embarrassing for the one that's quiet about it, since he has no reason to want to speak about mundane matters. So that's not a concern. It's only the words of Torah. However, they could amri that those that say a different version. That amr baba bar kahana lo yomon el afila b'divrei Torah. Rather, the isser of speaking about only things of only being able to speak about things relating to the mess is even the words of Torah, because you would think maybe Divrei Torah is different, that you could say. However, v'kolshkei mildama, that's definitely that one cannot talk about mundane matters, because that's a great bazillion for the mess. How is it that person passed away and we should be busy burying him, and we're talking about things relating to things not related to the mess or even Divrei Torah? Nothing more goes back about the pasuk that we mentioned before, that David HaMelech says, Chatzos Laila Akim L'Chaitz L'Chaitz, at midnight I would get up to praise you. However, the Gemara asks, but David, B'palgi D'Leili HaVakoy, is it true that David HaMelech would get up at midnight? Mi'urta HaVakoy, he was up already in the beginning of the night. How do we know this? Dechsev, it says in the pasuk, Kidamti Baneshev Asheveya, that I arose in the evening and I cried out. So we see that he got up already in the evening. What does it mean that he says I get up at midnight? And the Gemara proves this. I mean, my dehai neshef urtu. How do we know that neshef means evening? That it says kedamti ben neshef, and vashavein they screamed out. It says in the pasuk, ba neshef be'erev yoim, when the daylight wanes, be'ishoin laila, in the blackness of night, vafeil in darkness. So we see in that pasuk, ba neshef, it specifically refers to the evening. So how can we say that it got up at midnight when it was already up already in the beginning of the evening? Amr avoyishi, amr b'acha, hochi kamar. What Devin Melech was saying is not that he got up at midnight. It says that midnight never passed me with me sleeping. And the reason for that is because I was already up in the beginning of the evening. So it's not that he got up at midnight, but rather that midnight never passed him by in the form of sleeping. A second test the Gemara gives is, Reb Zeira Amar, At chatzois laila he misnamnim kisus. Up until midnight, he was dozing on and off like a horse. And that is because a horse, they never really sleep. Rather, they're constantly dozing on and off. And therefore, he would wake up in the beginning of the evening, but he didn't sleep any other time. So he would have these small little dozing on and off. And mekamva elach miskabe kariba. But from midnight and on, that's when he would get up like a lion. And that's what he meant when he says, okum, that at lahayiz l'chamesh, but this is kech. Then he would get up, so to speak, as a lion. But he was up in the sense that he wasn't sleeping in the beginning of the evening, but it wasn't with the same intensity as it was from midnight. And the third test the Gemara gives is, he got up like a lion, possibly even in the beginning of the night. But what was he doing then? He was learning Torah. But from then on, from midnight on, then he was saying the words of Shiris and Nishbachis, and that's specifically what the Pasuk says. Then he was doing Haidah, he was saying Hallel and Shir to Hashem, but it doesn't mean that he was sleeping, it means that he was learning Torah. So we had three different terutzim to resolve the question of, did David HaMelech get up in the evening or did he get up at midnight? First terut says that he really got up in the evening, but he wasn't sleeping at midnight. Second terut says that he was being misnam, he was dozing on and off like a horse from the beginning of the night up until midnight, and then from then on, then he would be miskabek hari, then he would be strong like a lion. The third test says, depends, from the first half of the night, then he was learning Torah, and from midnight on, then he was akum lahaydis l'cha, then he was saying words of shavach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Gemara continues with discussion of what we said before in the Gemara. We said that neshef is a reference to the evening. Now the Gemara questions that whole premise. The neshef urtuhu, is it true that neshef means the evening? Ha neshef tzafru, but neshef means the morning. The chesiv v'yakim David mahaneshev ad erev l'machrasim says that David Melech hit them and then killed them from neshef until erev to the following day. Now my love mitzafer v'alela, wouldn't that make sense to say it means from the morning until the night? So the Gemara says loy miurte v'urte, it means from evening till evening. So the Gemara says ihachi, if that would be the case that you're interpreting the pasuk that David Melech smote them from neshef until erev means from evening till evening. So then, lichtav mahan neshev ad neshev. It should have said the same terminology from evening till evening to the following day. Oy maha erev ad erev, or the same terminology of erev ad erev. Why does it switch it from neshev to erev if they both mean the same thing? So the Gemara says, elam arava trei nish behavi. There are two definitions of the word neshev. Neshev lel yevasi imam. It could mean that the night departs and the day comes. Or Nashif Yamam of Asilal, that the day departs and then night comes. So it can mean either morning or night. And the reason for that is because the word Neshev itself means to jump and to go. As the Gemara Megillah says, Linshef Meduchte, to move from its place. So therefore, and that was a reference to what happened by the Gidah Nasha, that it moved from its place. So therefore, Neshev, which means moving, it means going from one to the other. It could either mean morning when it's moving from night to day, or it could mean night, which means going from day to night, and therefore, in our context, it meant the night, and the other pasuk when David HaMelech was killing him meant the mornings, and therefore it's not a contradiction. Now the Gemara continues on the same theme that David HaMelech got up at midnight, and that's the time he did it. To which the Gemara asks, but David mi have a yada palga delel yemes? Did he even know when midnight was to say this pasuk that I got up at midnight? How did he even know when midnight was? And the Gemara proves that it's impossible for him to know this. Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the greatest Navi of all time, he didn't know when midnight was. When he was telling the Mitzrayim, when he was saying when Makis Bechorus was going to happen, he was saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that at around midnight, I am going to be going out in the land of Mitzrayim. This is what he was saying from the message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara asks, what does it mean when he said that around midnight? If it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe that this terminology, that at around midnight Hashem said, I'm going to come around. Is there a suffix? Is there something unknown in Shemayim that Hashem didn't know exactly when it is he's going to do it and he couldn't be precise about the time? That can't be. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, at midnight I'm going to be killing the Mitzrayim, the firstborns. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he came along and he says at around midnight. And the reason is because Moshe himself didn't know to be precise when that's going to be. And to say that now it's going to happen, he couldn't be precise. And therefore, he had to leave open that element of that room there to say that at around midnight because he wouldn't know when it's going to be. So we see that Moshe Rabbeinu himself was not sure. But David Havayod and David, he knew he was better than Moshe in that sense that he knew when midnight was. So the Gemara answers that he didn't know. However, David simon havale. David had a simon when midnight was, and that's how he knew. There was a harp that was hanging from above the bed of David HaMelech. The kivin shegiya chatzos laila. Once it reached midnight, a northern wind would come in into his room, and it would blow into the holes that are there in the harp, and it would start playing from itself. And the reason is because the night is split, the day is split into four different winds. As the Gemara in Baba Basra and Daf Chafei says, that in the first 6 hours of the day, then the eastern wind is blowing. Then in the second 6 hours, then the southern winds are blowing. And then the beginning of the night, the western winds are blowing. And then at midnight, for the rest of the night, then the northern wind is blowing. So when the midnight would come, the northern wind would start blowing. When it started playing, he got up and that's how he knew that he would get up at midnight. So the Gemara continues with the narrative of this discussion about when David HaMelech would get up, so the harp would start playing. And he would right away get up at midnight and start learning Torah until the light of dawn. And obviously this sheet is not like the other mandamrim that says that he would say praise and shvach and he wouldn't learn from midnight on. This mandam held that he would learn from midnight up until Amud HaShachar. Kivin Sha'ol Amud HaShachar, when it finally became Amud HaShachar, when daybreak was coming, so then the Chachamim of Klal Yisrael would come to him. Amrula Adineinu HaMelech, they said to him, our master, our king, Amcha Yisrael Tzrichim Parnasa, your nation, Klal Yisrael, they need to have sustenance, they need a Parnasa. Amalaham Lechu V'es Parnasa, they said, go make Parnasa amongst yourselves. This is intra-national commerce, and go ahead and do business in the marketplaces. So Amuloy ina koimitz must be SRE. So they told him the handful doesn't satisfy the lion. What we have is not enough to go around, so to speak. And similarly, they told him, Veina Bari, Mismal Mukhul Yasai, the pit cannot be filled up from its own earth. When you take out the earth and you take it out and you try to put it back in, it's never there enough. And that was the message they were giving it to him, that it's we don't have enough to have amongst ourselves. Amalahem says, go stretch out your hand amongst the legions that were causing harm in Eretz Yisrael, and so to speak, go fight back at them and get the spoils of war from them. So right away they went and they would take counsel with Achitofel. And that is, they would ask him what way to go, how to make the situation and the different methods of war. Then they would consult with the Sanhedrin, which they would take permission from them, that they should daven for them, that they should be successful. Then the third step was, then they would go ahead and ask the Ur Metum that the Kohen Gadol wore on the Choshen to see if they are going to be successful. And that was the process they would take afterwards to finally go ahead and fight the war. Amar Rav Yosef Maikra, what's a pasuk that shows that this was the process that they did? It says in the pasuk, V'achri Achitofel, that after Achitofel, B'niyahu ben Yehoyada, ve'ev Yasser, v'sar tzava le'melech Yoyos. Now the Gemara explains this. Achitofel, that was the first one mentioned in the Pasuk. Zeyoyitz, that was the one that gave the advice. Ukahada Amr, as it says in the Pasuk, v'atzas Achitofel, asher yoyitz b'yamehim, that the advice and the counsel that Achitofel gave in those days, ka'asher yishab advarakim, as if one would ask the word of God, that he was so precise and knowledgeable in what he would give, that was the first step they would do. Now we continue on to the beginning of Daf Dalad. B'niyahu ben Yehoyada, when it says the next person, Zeh Sanhedrin, that was a reference to the Sanhedrin, because he was the Av Bezdin, and that was, they would ask them permission that they should be mespaled at their Metzliach. The next one that says in the Pasuk, Vev Yasser, that was a reference, Elu Ur Metum, that was a reference to Ur Metum, because he was the Kohen Gadol in those days, and that's who David HaMelech used to ask. V'cheinu Oimer, so it says, U'v'niyahu ben Yehoyada, al hakrisi v'al haplesi, that Ibn Yob ben Yoyada, he was on the krisi plesi, which means that he was before the krisi plesi. That first they would take rishus from Ibn Yob ben Yoyada, who is the Sanhedrin, and then they would ask the krisi plesi if they're going to be matzliach. And the Gemara asks, "V'lo manikra shemam krisi plesi? Why is the umratum called the krisi plesi?" The reason is krisi shakursim devreim, because it cuts precisely its words. It's very succinct, and it says in very distinct words what the answer is. And plesi shemaflom devreim, and it's also plesi because it's wondrous in its words and about how it gives such a precise message for those that ask the questions. And then the pasuk ends off, achakach sar tzavo lemelech Yoav, and then afterwards would be the sar, the master of the army for the melech, that was Yoav, and that would be the end of how they would take the process going to war. And we end this gemara, amr of Yitzchak baradav, amri lo amr of Yitzchak bereda avidi mikra. What is the pasuk that we said in this narrative that there was a kina, that there was a harp hanging on the top of David HaMelech's bed, and that would wake him up? Where do we find this? It says in the pasuk, ura kavaydi ura, wake up my honor, wake up. Which was, he was telling himself that don't honor yourself with sleep like the other kings. Hanevel v'kina or irashacha, that the lyre and the harp, that will wake me up in the morning, that the other kings, the morning wakes them up. And I will be ma'oris hashecha, I will wake up the morning. And that, as it starts off in Shulchan Aruch with the Ramah, that person should be miskabekari, just like David HaMelech was, that to wake up the morning, that's what he did. And this is where we find the source in halacha of alarm clocks. That's, he would use the kina, that would wake him up. That was because he didn't want to honor himself with more sleep. Rather, he would wake himself up to wake up the morning to honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not himself.